Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. They do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. O God, grant us hearts this morning open to receive what you want to plant there. Open our minds to perceive, and grant us through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit to hear what you have to say for each and every one of us this morning. Speak through your word. We ask it in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It has been an extraordinary week as our country has remembered the life of Senator John McCain. We've remembered John McCain this week and his compelling story of service, duty, and honor. It's hard for me to imagine someone who would refuse to be released from a horrible prison camp because he felt it dishonorable to accept special treatment since it was offered because his dad was an admiral. Then, because of his injuries after that ordeal, he was unable to serve in the military any longer, so he turned to public service. No matter what your political persuasion, I would suspect that there were times that you agreed with what John McCain was saying and that there were times you disagreed. John was far from perfect, but we can admire someone who lived his life by not bowing to self-serving, politically expedient things in the moment, not merely blindly following the party line, but rather seeking to live his life by higher ideals and morals. Two things stood out to me about that service that took place yesterday. First, was the call to rise above party differences and come together in unity for the good of our country. Oh, how we need that. I think John McCain wanted us to think about that by planning the service as he did, asking both Presidents Bush and Obama to speak. And second, the example McCain left us in the call to serve something greater than yourself. Time and again, speakers mentioned this about John McCain. His extraordinary life was an example of costly sacrifice and living for something greater than himself. There's an article online about McCain's faith by a CNN reporter, Maeve Reston. She writes this: through all of his internal struggles with his mistakes or regrets, it was his quiet faith that sustained him. Few knew that the Episcopalian who refused to flaunt his faith on the campaign trail could quote scripture at length and served as the room chaplain to his fellow prisoners of war in North Vietnam. I interviewed him at length in 2008, and I knew he was a voracious reader, but was startled as we talked by how effortlessly he quoted scripture. He explained that prayer and church had been an ingrained part of his life in high school, where he attended chapel each morning and Sunday evenings. But it wasn't until his plane was shot down over Hanoi that he began to rely on his faith. McCain told me that he was very slow in maturing. He said he knew right from wrong, the Bible, the Nicene Creed, and the Apostles' Creed, and the tenets of the faith, but neglected them until that 5.5-year period in Hanoi. Looking at the faith of John McCain, we can find a living example of what was read this morning in the epistle. James, the first bishop of Jerusalem, the brother of Jesus, urges us to not merely be people who hear the word of God, but people who also do it, people who live what they say they believe. James urges us not to be like John McCain was before his time in prison, someone who merely knew the right answers, had heard the Bible readings, but rather be like John was after and through that time of hardship, someone who internalized the scriptures, being able to quote them at length and then seeking to live by them. James writes in that reading we heard this morning, therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they're like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look intently into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. So I would guess that everyone here today spent some time this morning in front of a mirror. But once we do that, we forget about it and go about our day. I doubt seriously that any of you have been focusing since then on what you look like in the mirror, like all morning before you're coming into worship. I doubt that any of you would spend your days constantly focusing on your image in the mirror. James is saying you look in the mirror in the morning, you see the face that God has given you, but then you go about your day without really thinking about what you look like. Likewise, he says those who consider for a moment the word of God in Scripture, then go away immediately forgetting it, are like that. They're deceiving themselves. They think they're living as God intends. They think they're on the right track, but James says they are deceived. What is required is to keep on looking intently into the law of liberty in the scriptures and to seek to live the moments of our days by it. James is saying we need to remember the word of God. We need to internalize it. He uses the word implanted, like a pacemaker implanted in a patient to regulate the heart, so the Word of God is to be implanted within us so that it regulates our hearts 24/7, our actions, our daily lives. I spent a lot of time thinking and praying over this image of the mirror that James is using to make the point. And I can't help but think that part of what he's saying is that when you look in a mirror, you do see yourself accurately. You see who you are, but then you go away and forget. And I think James is telling us that there is a grave danger in forgetting who we are as we go about our days. There's a danger in forgetting what the scriptures say, that you are a child of God, a wondrous being created in the very image of God. You are a soul that has the spirit of the living God within you. You are a person in whom God takes delight. Despite your sins and faults, he loves you from before time and forever. You are a blessed member of the family of God. Don't forget that as you're tempted to sin in your life. Don't forget these biblical truths as you manage your business, as you are in relationship with coworkers and family members, with brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, with how you interact with people you don't know in the world about you. Remember who you are, a being with the divine Word of God implanted within you. Let the implant of that Word, like a pacemaker, set the pace for your life and regulate your heart with love. Don't forget. We human beings are so readily prone to self-deception, believing what we want to believe. James warns us to rid ourselves of, as he says, sordidness and rank growth of wickedness within our hearts. Jesus also is telling us this morning in the gospel reading to pay attention to our hearts. He says that's the birthplace of all kinds of sin and evil. Your heart, in a sense, is like a petri dish, able to grow all kinds of rank infectious sins. Both readings tell us to tend to our hearts. Now, throughout the month of September, we're going to be reading from the Epistle of James, and we will see that the central theme in that epistle is that our actions show what's in our hearts. The evidence that we have saving faith in Jesus is seen by how we live our lives. The evidence that you're a Christian is not whether or not you hear the Bible read in church. It's whether or not you're actively seeking to do what it teaches. We do that by making the Bible more than just head knowledge, like it was for John McCain before. We do it by internalizing the Word and living by it. It doesn't earn us a place in heaven. It's merely the evidence of the saving faith that God has put in our hearts. Pastor and commentator George M. Stulek on this passage offers us an example of what this looks like from his ministry experience. He writes this: "For some people, reading the Bible is an unpleasant chore, because their perception of the Bible's message is do this, do that, do this other, and do more of this, and do more of that, and do more of that other. The effect is only a building of stress and guilt. On the other hand, some people find Scripture to indeed be the perfect law that gives freedom. I recall a young man who was, by God's grace, taking some very large steps to walk more thoroughly according to Scripture. His humble acceptance of God's word was admirable to me. His resulting spiritual growth was exhilarating to him. One day in my office, he said in amazement, 'I am internalizing God's word so much more now. It makes me wonder how I could have called myself a Christian before. It's like all that I had was head knowledge.'" Can I ask you this morning, in a sense, connect your spiritual heart monitor as you consider the answers to these questions for you. What are you growing in the soil of your heart? What gets the watering, the pruning, the nurturing, the fertilizing? What gets the focus? What are you growing in there? How much life are you giving to the seed of the implanted Word of God within you? How are you taking it with you as you go about your daily routine? How are you able to quote it like John McCain? How are you at remembering it? Do you think of the Bible more throughout your day than you do your reflection in the mirror? How are you doing at remembering who you are, a child of God in whom your Heavenly Father delights? Are you living your 24/7 life with that at the forefront? If you're looking for some practical tools for scripture reading, I have two smartphone apps that I use nearly every day that I would recommend. One is called Pray As You Go. It offers music, scripture reading, and some questions that encourage you to seek God's presence, all in about 12 minutes. Pray As You Go. It's an app for your phone. You can also listen on the web. The second app I have is called BCP Online. That's for Book of Common Prayer. It's an app that has a button in it that you can click for the daily Bible readings for the Episcopal Church lectionary. If you don't want to use the phone for this, let me show you another way. Would you take a moment and take out the Book of Common Prayer from the pew rack in front of you and turn to page 983. What you will find there, the Episcopal Church Bible readings for this week. On the cover of your bulletin, it tells you that we are in week proper 17, and the prayer book notes that it's proper 17, and it begins near the Sunday of August 31. So these readings are on a two-year cycle. Odd years are year one. Even years are year two. It's a very practical way to make Bible reading part of your daily routine. So I wanted to be practical. But careful listeners this morning will note that the point today is not so much about religious practices, such as these, or simply reading or simply hearing words of Scripture. The point is to do what it says in your life, to remember. I close with my own story. You may have heard me share this before. I, like John McCain, was raised in the church. I knew the creeds. I heard the Bible readings in church for years. But I wasn't even thinking about living those throughout the course of my days outside of Sunday morning. God was very far from the 24/7 center of my life. I was at the center of my life. And one night in college, my roommate asked me questions as we lay in our bunks about to go to sleep. He said, "Why don't you study the Bible? You say you're a Christian." I said, "Well, I think that's for spiritual people to do, people like ministers." He said, "Okay, you think you ever might study the Bible?" And I said, "Well, I guess I might someday." And then he asked me the question that changed my life. He said, "What would get you to study the Bible?" And I said, "Well, I guess if I thought God was calling me to do that, I would." And I can't explain to you how I know this, but I knew right then at that moment, I felt a presence come over me, and I knew with more certainty than I know the sun is coming up tomorrow that God wanted me to study the Bible. So I did. I did it on my own, and I went to Bible studies, and it changed my life. I came to know God profoundly with me, present in my life, and I grew in my walk with God. And like that young man that Pastor Stulik described, I found it exhilarating. I still do. Do I go through times when, like the mirror in the morning, I forget? Absolutely. But I'm striving to remember more and more each and every day, God is with me. God delights in me. And I seek to follow Jesus, live my life by his words as found in the Bible. And oh, how blessed I am. I have found it to be the greatest treasure of blessing. And so with James today, I invite you to nurture the Word of God planted within your heart. And I invite you to not merely be someone who hears the Word, but also someone who remembers it, does what it says, someone who lives it. To him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.
Please stand.